Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Words that we hear today, may they turn not into more words, but into actions serving you in all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, first off, a congratulations is in order. You heard every word of the Sermon on the Mount in the last 7 weeks, so give yourselves a round of applause. If only I could be as precise and pithy as Jesus is, because I preach 7 sermons. So just incredible to go through this entire sermon. So thank you for doing that and going along with this journey with me. This is our last part of the sermon, and it talks about this narrow gate, this tough choice that we have to make with all the things Jesus just laid out. He's saying this is going to be tough stuff. So this made me think about all the video games I played as a kid. Surprise, surprise. When I was a kid, like a kid in the 80s, I had a Nintendo, and I had a nice stack of games that my brother and I played all the time. In fact, the games that we were lucky to have, because those games were expensive, we got really good at each and every one of them. We played them for hours on end, hours and hours and hours. We knew where every spot was to get the secret. Everything, every place we needed to go, every way through, every different puzzle. And we played it and we played it and played it. We knew it by heart. It was like the back of our hand. We knew this game all the way through. And then in 1990, they invented this little thing called the Game Genie. Oh, and this says video game enhancer. I want to call it video game cheater. And you would plug this game into your little Game Genie. You'd plug her in, and you'd put it in, and it allowed you to put cheat codes to every game you were playing. You wanted unlimited power-ups? You got them. You want to be able to jump super high? You got it. You want to never, ever die? You want to be invincible? You got it. You're the boss now. And so guess what happened after I got the game genie? All those hours I put in, knowing every game, I could get a game and beat it in 2 hours. Because guess what? I never died. And I cheated my way through it. Thanks, game genie. And it was a piece of cake. And so this was an incredible device that allowed you to shorten all the hard work you would put into a game that ultimately, let me tell you, I'm really better off in my life because I played all those video games for hours upon hours. Sean Abbott knows what I'm talking about over here. Punch out, Captain. but ultimately, the problem with the Game Genie was that it drained you of the satisfaction, any sense of accomplishment because you didn't earn it, because you took a shortcut, right? Now, we are all living in the time of the Game Genie, right? Everywhere you go, there are shortcuts, get-rich-quick schemes, and easy, accommodating answers to any of your life's woes. Every product imaginable I can get now through my smartphone just by a few clicks. My media outlet of choice programs itself perfectly to tell me exactly what I want to hear, right? Churches water down the gospel to be less challenging so that they will appeal to more people. Big box stores are designed perfectly so that from the minute you walk in, from where the milk is to the temperature of the store, is there to feed into your most basic desires. And I know because Ann has a cousin who worked in design layout, and let me tell you, they have whole manuals on what the store is supposed to look like and where everything goes so that you feel so comfortable. And you see all the things you could ever want, right? Open wide the gates. Everything should be easy. Everything should be comfortable all the time, right? Jesus, in this section, the final section of the Sermon on the Mount, warns us about these wide gates and these expansive roads. The way Christ is calling his people is to live is not one that is appealing or easy or comfortable or even familiar. It doesn't go out of its way to accommodate or dilute itself. The narrow gate is risky, unfamiliar, uncomfortable, not flashy or popular. Verse 14 says it clearly, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few we'll find it. Now, I want to be clear. This metaphor is not about correct theology. It's not about divine election. It's not even about God sending most people, not us, to the depths of hell, right? God is being open and honest that this path he walks and asks us to walk with him is not for the faint at heart. It'll break and it'll remake you. If you follow it, it offers misunderstanding, rejection, judgment for the world because you dare to walk the road that no one wants to walk. The narrow gate is about not right theology, not divine election, not all these people going to hell. It is about right living. Breathing in and out the kingdom of God with every breath, every action you take. This is not about words. About living out the kingdom values. The narrow gate calls for discernment. It calls for intention in all things, where the wide gate says, you don't need to think about anything, just show up. And it's all going to be nice. It's all going to be comfortable. The narrow gate requires humbleness, thoughtfulness, and wherewithal. This brings me to Daryl Davis. He is an accomplished African-American jazz musician who has played with legends like Chuck Berry, Little Richard. And in 1990, after a gig at this bar, A man came up to him to tell him he was the greatest pianist he had ever seen. And the man offered to buy Daryl a round so that they could sit and talk some more. So they sat down at a nearby table. And the man said, I'm going to bring all my friends next week to come see you because you're that amazing. I've never seen anyone play like you. But they're sure going to be surprised. And Daryl says, why are they going to be surprised? The man said, because we're all in the Klan. We're all Klansmen in the KKK. And at that moment, Daryl had this decision, right, to make. He could have just ran for the door in disgust, or he could stay in conversation with this Klansman who decided he was going to sit at table and share a drink with a black man. All right? And so Daryl stayed. He talked with this man about why he was a Klansman, what led him to be a Klansman, what led him to believe what he believed. Daryl listened and shared his own opinion, as different as it was. And the man kept his word. He brought all of his fellow Klansmen the next week to the bar to see Daryl play. And this first friendship was the start of Daryl befriending many Klansmen. He still has continued to do this to this day, working from the premise, how can someone hate me before they know me? And Daryl dared to listen to these Klan members, caring for them, respecting them, despite their hate-fueled ideology. And since 1990, friendship with Klansmen have led 26 of them to leave the Klan altogether. And when they leave, the Klansmen have been giving Daryl their robes. And in his house, he has a collection of Klansmen robes, some Grand Wizards, Grand Dragons, he's got all the colorful ones. And he holds on to them. Because people have told him, why do you keep them? And he said, because they're a symbol of what those folks left behind, and they're a symbol of where they started, and they're also a symbol of resurrection. That people are capable of change. What amazed me, you can see this whole, there's a whole PBS documentary on it called Accidental Courtesy. What amazed me about this documentary is that Daryl dared to walk a path that I don't think any of us would ever walk. I mean, this is an extreme case, right? I mean, he's sitting down with Klansmen, right? I don't know that we're able to do this with people we just simply disagree with. A Republican and a Democrat sitting at table and actually being able to have an open and honest discussion without losing their minds. Much less with someone in the most extreme case, right? And it's funny, when Daryl brings this relationship-based mode of conversion, of resurrection, to folks who are on like the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they just look at him like he's the craziest person in the world. How could you dare to even talk to someone that hateful, that evil, that sick? This person needs to be marginalized, brought to justice. And Daryl said, no, they're a person just like me. They struggle just like me. I want to be in relationship with that person. And then through that relationship, we're both going to be changed. Powerful story. One that Jesus dares us to walk. One that truly is the narrow gate. What Daryl understood is that faith is not something we talk about. It's something that we live, something we embody. We don't have what people would call an armchair faith, right? We don't sit in a chair and live our faith. We live our faith by getting up and doing it. James says it the best, faith without works is dead. For example, Tilly, come on up here. Come on, Tilly. I have friends who collect action figures. You might have friends that do that. Stand right here. Perfect, right there. And you might have friends that do that too, right? And they go, oh, great, you never take an action figure out of the box. If you take it out of the box, Gray, the value is all gone. Oh, no. So I have all these action figures I have in big, giant tubs that I have in the back closet. I never look at them, but I have them. It's really exciting. Except, Tilly, what are toys made for?
They're made for what?
Playing.
Playing? What? Are you telling me they're not made to sit in a box, in a container, in a closet?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So, they make toys, right, for to play with. Toys aren't supposed to sit and hold their value all the time. So, Tilly, just go ahead and open this up for me. Just rip it. Rip it! Yeah! Get that toy out of there. Get that Ninja Turtle out of there. Get, oh, man, it just lost all its value. Tilly! Take him out of there. Take the Ninja Turtle out for me. Look at this. Now we got a Ninja Turtle. Now we have something that can be played with and something to be used the proper way. Oh, there goes a foot. Boom. This poor Ninja Turtle's missing an arm. You got to put arms on it. Oh, you can't get him out of there. See, they made it too hard for me. See? Sometimes we make it hard on ourselves to get out of the boxes. There's a faith lesson for you. So I am asking you all today to not have a kind of faith, the kind of faith that sits in a box and sits in a closet and waits to retain its value. Get a faith that's busted out of the box, that's lived, that's played with, that's used, that's practiced. Have a faith like this. There's an arm in here? Oh, no. Here we go. Well, you know, it's hard to practice. You need all your arms here. No, we want all of our arms. All right, Michelangelo is now officially ready to be played with. All right? So practice a faith that is out of the box, that dares to be lived. Okay? That is the kind of faith I'm calling you today, to proper living, not an armchair faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.